Technical College.
Computer Technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first Saturday of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. Today's show is going to be about racks, cabinets, physical infrastructure. Don't tune out on me because you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, I'm a business owner. I don't need to know that. Go. Or you have a CISO that does some CTO things for you, then I think, sure, you could delegate to that relationship. Or if they have the opportunity for that relationship, maybe they're not leveraging it. And as a result, they end up making uninformed decisions. So a lot of what I have been trying to do for the last 24 years is to put consumers of technology services and technology products in a position to be making informed decisions. And that includes business owners, consumers, and other IT folks, right? So it's really applicable to everybody. So let's talk a bit about racks and cabinets. And the reason that this is relevant is because I see ongoing decisions being made where business owners or business leaders delegate and then abdicate. So they delegate to the internal IT department. They might have someone called IT manager who is typically a PC technician that has been around a while. That person is not going to have the kind of skill set. I mean, I suppose a golden unicorn could exist of decisions exclusively on their own are people that have like CTO, CISO, senior architect titles and skill sets, you know, 20 plus, 30 plus years of experience. And they're typically going to do things in a very professional manner, writing a procurement justification statement. So I think that unless a business owner or business leader is just fully, completely willing to accept 100% of the adverse business impact, the adverse financial impact as well, made by individuals who don't have that level of experience and expertise, then they should be involved to some level in that decision-making process. And going at it from a decision-making process that's guaranteed out of aluminum or a combination of steel, aluminum, and glass, and maybe some fans, and potentially some plastic thrown in there as well. But we're literally talking about furniture, right? We're talking about structural furniture. And that structural furniture is never going to die. I mean, unless you drive a fork truck into it and kill it, it's never going to die. You know, I've literally pulled cabinets out of a data center, and those cabinets were installed in that data center in the 1950s. Now, I actually still have that cabinet, right? So we're talking about a cabinet that like 70 years later is still in use. Right, we're talking about furniture here. It does not die unless you physically damage it. So if you ever look at a rack or cabinet and your thought process is anything other than a 20-year life cycle with that piece of hardware, part cabinet, let's say you could get the cabinet for $600, okay? And if you had a requirement of, we really don't want to take up that much space, right? If space becomes your criteria, then that's going to be one of your requirements. I would always argue, though, that the thing that you should always be trying to accommodate is actually a four-post, full floor standing cabinet intended to be a secured space for your critical, super helpful from a maintenance perspective. And the design of cabinets is an art form. It's something that I've personally worked on for 25 years or more. It is only something that you get good at by doing a lot of it and then living with the ramifications of you decided to do this and now you had to actually service it. So the people who are absolutely the best in racks anymore, almost all the switches that are manufactured today really require a four-post configuration, whether that be a four-post open rack or a four-post cabinet, just simply because of their depth. Switches are U or a 19-inch rail system, and they're going to be either 1U or 2U. Most switches are 1U. And out as long as they possibly can. In fact, many switches are now delivered with a rail system because they're so darned heavy. Like, everything is PoE now. And so if you're going to get switches, you're inevitably going to be getting PoE switches, which inevitably turns into a really heavy switch. And then those power supplies are in the tail, right? They're in the backside of that switch. So if it isn't a four-post rail-mounted switch, then you're probably going to have some issues, because I can tell you that the ones that supposedly can be put on a two-post rail, oh, they sure hang a lot. They're talking about. So I'm going to share with you a real-world example of something that went travestorily wrong. I mean, it was just a complete travesty. It was atrociously bad. And I will also convey how the whole thing could have been completely avoided. In this instance, there's an IT department that does not have a firm, written, enforced procurement standard and procurement policy or procurement process for items of this type of need. And there's no oversight either. So it's basically a collection of PC technicians who get together and experience to do that. And they're also very much so focused on what I would call the poverty mentality. And I'm not picking on these people specifically. I think they are exemplar of a lot of IT departments. A lot of IT departments are comprised of individuals who are not highly proficient at business value justification or total cost of ownership articulation. And so what ends up happening is when they need something, they will oftentimes just source it themselves from wherever they can buy using a credit card, because somebody has to do a checks and balances and verify that whatever that thing is purchased for is actually suitable for purpose and was the best use of the money. That they go to management with is that, okay, this thing is cheap. I can't tell you how many times. I would say it's almost 100% of the time, the argument that I hear from folks like that is that the first thing that they question is how much does it cost, or I should say apparent acquisition cost cannot be the decision-making factor. You have to actually sit down and put together a list of requirements and then say, all right, cabinets, wall mount cabinets or wall mount open racks, not deep enough to accommodate modern switches. So whatever money was previously spent, well, that's just lit on fire, because effectively that stuff that was installed a year ago now has to be taken out and replaced. And by the way, super deep switches are not a new thing that just started a year ago. I've been getting really deep wall mount cabinets and floor standing cabinets for at least a decade. This is not a new thing. You know, these particular switches have been around for probably more than an appropriate set of requirements. And there was no procurement process to force over a particular closet that has, you know, network equipment in it and such. If you have to do a whole bunch of really heavy duty work on that cabinet or that rack location, then, I mean, it's a major outage. And so if that's done at all during, you know, business hours, or what if it's, you know, what if your operations, you actually have an expectation that your operations are going to work on the weekends or after hours? Well, it becomes another business impact other than just payroll and product. And there are implications to the logistics. People only think about their needs. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the majority of personnel who are PC technicians or site service technicians, or manner, because I've had the role of a chief operating officer. I'm just gonna pop down to the, you know, the little cabinet room. And so don't think that what I'm saying is just applicable to some large behemoth organization, because years ago I had this one client who was like, they were like, no, we don't want to spend the other $350 for an iDirect Enterprise card. And foolishly at the time, I went along with it, their little presumed cost savings measure. I mean, like, I'm not even kidding you. It was like $350 one time, right? This was a one-time expense. This was not even like, this wasn't monthly. This would have been like, you spent an additional $350 one time in the last 9 years, right? I mean, like, that's how silly it was. So one day, one of their staff calls up and for support and says, you know, everything is down. And so, you know, I try to get to their server and I can't. And so I had to, you know, try and talk to them verbally about stuff. And somebody had actually basically taken a box and put it on the keyboard of the server, which interrupted the boot process. So had remote control of that server been available at the hardware level, have that maintenance of that equipment as part of their job function, they've been doing, right? So this is not something that you can just assume that you can trust all of your office staff with. Like, this is part of that kind of mature policy control. So back to this whole remote support aspect and the catastrophic decisions that I've seen come out of some IT departments is, you know, a lot of the thing that you're going to have to anticipate is having your on-site technical point of contact, right? Every facility needs to have an on-site technical point of contact. Doesn't mean an IT person. It means that you've designated someone. Cable modem technology, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with it. It just is what it is. So, you know, you're going to need someone who is not meant without disrupting anything else or without causing other problems. And I can tell you pretty much other problems get created if the equipment and the cabinet is not set up exactly right to facilitate that. So like one of the most egregious examples I've ever seen of this was literally a wall mount cabinet where all of the stuff had to drop in from the top. And so there was like this top component to the cabinet that was just squirrely to get on and off. First off, it was just squirrely. Like, I can't see anybody other than an IT person even being willing to touch that. It meant that the on-site technical point of contact would have needed to actually, you know, pull the power cord on, wait a minute, put it back in, was in the bottom of this cabinet. Like, I had to stick my arm down in there and reach down like 2 feet to get this thing. And it was all just piled in the bottom of this cabinet. swear to God, this was a real thing that happened. And it was all, your choice is an IT person gets in a vehicle and drives for 45 minutes so that they can be to this facility so that they can do a physical reboot of a piece of equipment. If that's the choice versus you set up the thing such that your on-site technical point of contact, where that would be the recommended troubleshooting step. And it also, so, you know, it's not a one in a blue moon situation. It's like, no, this is like a pretty hot and heavy requirement that this setup needs to be amenable to the on-site people. So when that decision about that equipment is made exclusively in the IT department without technology executive oversight, you know, you're going to end up with a bad outcome. It's just, that's what it is. And this isn't a dollar amount. That's the problem. You can't have a procurement policy that says, and this is a message for all you CFOs out there, you cannot have effective outcomes with a procurement policy that says, oh, you know, if it's less than $5,000, the IT department can do whatever they want. No, that doesn't work because the IT isn't under $5,000. Even something that's under $1,000 is typically not under $1,000. The total cost of ownership of that procurement decision needs to be thought through. So to that realm about red tape, I don't want to hear it. Okay. Because you can claim that all you want. And the reality is if you're making bad procurement decisions, those procurement decisions last a lifetime. They go on and on and on. And they are the negative decision that continues to be an adverse, a defined, approved. And who approves it? The technology executive approves it. Either you have a CTO or a CIO or a CISO who has literally written the policy for and the standard for, right? You know, don't think that they're going to exclude the IT department from that. That's ridiculous. I don't know any technology executive that does that or has ever done that. When you're looking for good outcomes, you have to have procurement policies. You have to have procurement standards. $15 mouse maybe had some malware embedded in the USB on the mouse. And next thing you know, it does make a lot of difference. And this could be fractional, could be virtual, could be, you know, part-time of some nature of the relationship, but you need to have a technology executive who's actually in charge to adverse financial outcomes.